Good morning.
Good
to see everybody here. Welcome those who are having to eat. Welcome those up on the balcony. Welcome those who are here from far afield. It's very good to see you. Before we do anything else, let's pray. Loving Father, we thank you for welcoming us here today. You love to see people come to meet you, to spend time with you. Jesus, you are the way to the Father. You came that we might know the Father. And Holy Spirit, you are here because you show us who Jesus is. And do you assure us that when we put our faith in him, we are children of our Heavenly Father. So Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, help us to come into your presence, to worship you, to hear you speaking, and to be encouraged and transformed, to live life to the full, to your praise and glory. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, who's feeling bright and memory fully active? For those... Oops, too loud, Andrew. Too loud. For those listening to the recording, nobody put their hand up in answer to that question. I always say that, as you've heard me say lots of times, we have lots of notices because we're alive. And those again for the recording, there are some alive people here. Half of them are not sure. Right, a couple of things firstly. I've left up there the notice that was on the signboard on our screen. God's doing something new in bringing the church together across Paignton and beyond. It's not lots of sort of organized services and structures and things and committees and everything else. But God is drawing people together for particular purposes. There was a group of people playing, praying in Palace Avenue yesterday. Who saw the people in Palace Avenue? I know, Hayley, you did. The healing team that were meeting up at Church 180, the healing place, people from different churches. I went there for healing, and God healed me through their prayers and yours. Others of people have been healed. Leslie's benefited by being healed in answer to their prayers. They've now gone on the street. And they were in Victoria Street and Saturday, yesterday. They were in Palace Avenue. And Anne Hughes rang me and said, I just never stopped having people to pray for. So it's out there, things are happening, and the church is coming together in different ways. And this is another way to come together. Next Saturday at Preston Baptist Church, this time it's been at different locations. Anybody who wants to worship, go along. A particular invitation to worship leaders, those in part of worship teams, but everyone's invited just for a time of worship, 7 o'clock till 10 o'clock, Preston Baptist Church, next Saturday evening. Just for people who God has brought together in the Paignton, from the Paignton churches, just to worship. So I do encourage you to go if you can, but also keep your ears and eyes open for what God is doing. And something else that God is doing is in the schools. There's a completely new landscape in our primary schools. The schools are welcoming in Christians to be Christians. Parents, grandparents, people to stand at the school gate, people to be at the bus stop, people to be in the corridors, to be in the grey areas to help pupils, to help our young people. To spot those who have been, children who have been dropped off by parents who are completely drunk. Those children who are struggling. Just to be there. The schools want Christians to be in there as Christians. Not leave their Christianity at the door. This is a completely new situation Praise God for it. These books tell you a bit more about it. Athena, who's the wife of the curate at Bay Church, as coordinating a group with Nathan Kiaga and school support team. Anybody can be part of this, supporting our schools. So those are on the table. If you're interested, they'll train people to do whatever we need to do. But the main thing is just to be a Christian presence. So we can all do that. So that's an exciting opportunity. And now we come to food. There always seems to be food. And I have a sign-up sheet here. Liz, I'm afraid your age is now, you know, revealed. Liz is having her 50th birthday. Like, actually, it doesn't say on here, Liz's celebration of birthday. Like, sorry. She's 40. She's celebrating that she's 40. Oops. It didn't say. Sorry. Liz's birthday lunch is on Sunday, the 29th of October. So if you want to come, do sign up to come. It's going to be a really great time. Hungry Hearts will become Hungry Hearts and Liz's birthday celebration. So there's no names on it at the moment. It'll be outside. That'll be great. And then the same weekend, the Saturday afternoon, we have Andy and Jutta coming to share about what God's been doing in their lives and their call to Uganda, to Gulu, North Uganda. Starts at 2:30, and surprise, surprise, will involve food. There's a sign-up sheet outside. Where is it at the moment? Where's the sign-up sheet? In the vestibule. On the table. Do have a look at it. Do come. It's a great time to hear what God is doing in a different place, to bless them, to support them, to pray for them. Any more information, do speak to David and Josie. But they're lovely people, and it's just great to get behind them. So that's next the Saturday the 28th. So 2 weekends' time. You've got a missionary afternoon on the afternoon, and if you want to stay for lunch on the Sunday, we've got that celebration. And then we have one more thing, and that is refreshments. There's big blank spaces on the rota for serving refreshments after our Sunday morning service and also for Friday coffee morning. So there's blank spaces because no one at the moment has volunteered to come forward. So if you think, yes, that's something I can do once a month, I can serve teas and coffees, because we all go out and we expect someone to be there. And at the moment, according to the rota, no one's there. So we need to do it. There's no magic fairy out there who's going to serve teas and coffees to us. It's us. So if you think, yes, it's time for me to take a turn to serve teas and coffees, that's on Sunday, great. And also Friday, we could do a bit of a hand as well. Because we've got a couple of people, Carol and Margaret and Manning on Friday, but nobody else at the moment, and we need more people for Friday than that. So if you think, yes, I can help out on a Friday morning, it's a great opportunity. And last, I hope you've got a good one. I'm going to mention the refreshments at the end, but I know you've got a good memory, really, because you'll remember food, so you'll hear those things. But the last thing is, on the 23rd, which is Monday week, it's Rini's 100th birthday. Now, Rini's our oldest church member, and at our recent pastoral care coordinators meeting, the suggestion was, we'll get a card, and that'd be good. But Debbie said, well, for someone who can't see very well, why don't we do a recording? So if you'd like to say happy birthday to Rini with your name, David Redaway, very kindly, is going to be here straight after the service to record your message. So we'll sing happy birthday on the 22nd and we'll record that, but that'll be the last thing on the recording. But if you'd like to say, even though you've never met her, yes, happy birthday, really, my sister in Christ, then do that. It'd be lovely to have, so then we can go and play that recording to her. It is good to be alive, and it's good to know that God is good. And David is going to be preaching today, David Butler, about Jesus being the way. And And we're looking forward to hearing what he has to say. And these are the words that God gave me today to help us in our worship. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Lord, help us today. To dwell in your presence, to sing of your goodness, to receive your anointing oil, to receive your refreshment in green pastures and still waters, to fear no evil, to walk through the valley with you. Comforted by you. And may we see with eyes of faith the table you have prepared before us this morning in the presence of our enemies. Amen. As usual in our time of worship, feel free to sit or stand. This is an informal time. So there's time, there's space to pray, to bring God's word to us, or just to be still and quiet. I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. Thank you.
you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Faithfulness for today, and faithfulness for tomorrow, and in the days ahead, Lord, we thank you that you're always there, a very faithful and loving friend.
Amen.
Yes, Lord, thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness. I can testify to this in the last few months as I've struggled with things, but you've sorted them out, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
For that.
Yes,
in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Dear Lord, we just thank you for this morning, this time of the convention in this church. I think all the people who have sat here and all the years who have been here, ask you to bless you. Think of those who are not able to come. Lord, may your mercy just rest upon them. I thank you for that love which is always around us. And Lord, Harold, upholds and strengthens us from day to day. What would we do without you? What would we do without anything other than you? I bless you, Lord, that you're able to come this morning. And thank you for your wonderful goodness towards the innocent death. I pray for healing hands to rest upon her and all those who have friends or family. Oh, Lord, I pray too that you'll be there for them.
Bless him.
May your mercy just abound. Lord, it's like a full bucket of mercies. They will just wash over us. We ask this for our dear names.
Amen.
Lord, I just want to give you the faithfulness of the leaders of Delphicate down the ages as we celebrate 130 years of praising and thanking you. Your faithfulness has been rewarded for
thank
those
you.
People.
Thank you.
Because I came through to loving you through Delphicate leaders teaching me.
Thank you.
So thank you, Lord, for the 130 years
thank
of
you, Lord.
Goodness to you. Amen.
Amen.
Faithful one, so unchanging, blessed one, you're my rock of peace. Lord of all, I depend on you. I call out to you again and again. Father, we thank you that you always hear our cries and you always love our worship. Father, again, we thank you that because of Jesus, we can come to the very throne of grace this morning. We thank you, Father. Amen.
And Lord, we know your faithfulness means you've done it before and you'll do it again. You said you'll do it and you will do it. You are completely trustworthy. You are faithful one.
Faithful.
God is good. God is good. All the time. God is good. We have the opportunity now to say thank you to God through our offering. If you've come prepared for the offering, this is the time for it. But if not, please just let it go past you. Thank you for your great gifts to us, and thank you that you give us the privilege of giving back to you, that others will come to know your goodness and love. Multiply these gifts, we pray, by the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Angela's working with our children this morning, and who have you got to help you, Angela?
Jean.
Oh, good. This is going to be a good time. It's always a good time, whoever goes out with the children. And if we do need more people to help with our children as well, so speak to Angela or me afterwards if you think, yes, I'm willing to bless our young ones. Let's bless them now. Reach a hand out towards them if they're near you. Father, we thank you for our children. We thank you for Connie, Alexia, Zed, Noah, and all the other children that come in this place. We thank you for them. May they know your love and goodness. Bless Jean and Angela particularly as they go out with them now. Amen. Great. Thank you very much. David, do you like to come up? We'll pray for you. And is Josie reading first? That's the plan. Great. So. Oh, sorry. Right. Sorry. I'm glad that someone's organised. Our theme today is Jesus being the way, which we'll hear very shortly. And David asked if we could have the a lyric video of Waymaker, so we could learn that as a congregation, as a song. So that's going to come now, and then we're going to sing it ourselves after the sermon. So this is an opportunity to be led by others who've prepared this particular song. So if we could have that now. Feel free to again sit or stand.
I'll pray for both
Josie and David. Lord, we thank you that both Josie and David are going to bring your word to us. Mm-hmm. We pray your anointing on them and anointing on your word and your anointing on us that we may hear and respond. Amen.
Amen.
So the reading is taken from John chapter 14 and it's the first 14 verses. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do not know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you for such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am the Father, and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Verily, truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these. Because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Mm-hmm. Thanks be to God for his word.
Amen. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Including those up there. Can you hear me all right up there? Yes, good. I love that worship song that we saw and heard a few moments ago called Waymaker. It was written by a Nigerian songwriter, a lady songwriter called Sinach. Many of you I know, like Josie and me, watch Songs of Praise on Sundays. And in Songs of Praise we see people from all sorts and manner of churches singing and praising God. And I particularly enjoy it when we see folk at the Gast Street Church in Birmingham worshipping. The first time I heard the song Waymaker was one of those occasions. Gas Street Church is situated in a former gasworks building near the canal which runs through the heart of Birmingham. This is what they say about themselves. We are a church compelled by a Jesus-centered vision to be light for the city. We passionately believe that in order to see that vision become reality, we need to be a church which gathers and scatters. We gather to worship and pray, to open God's word, to be transformed by his presence, to grow, to serve, to be family together. And then we scatter as compassionate followers of Jesus to be light bearers, peacemakers, joy bringers, and city shapers wherever God sends us. So, from a building in which gas was once produced to power the city's street lamps, now comes light of another kind, God's light. And when I watch their worship, I am encouraged by the fact that it's full of passionate young Christians, but there are old-timers like me in the congregation as well. And I hope that us folk here at Wimmer Street, and those of you who are visiting us today, can identify with their vision. Even though here in Paignton we're only in a town, not a city, and even though we don't as yet have worship services full of young people. In the song, Jesus is described as waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. And I would like to unpick that a bit. In that well-known reading, which Josie has just brought us, from John 14, Jesus is seeking to reassure his disciples in the days leading up to his crucifixion. I'm very fond of that passage because it is what I read to my father who came to faith on the day that he died. Jesus' followers are confused when our Lord says, "You know the way to the place where I'm going." Thomas says to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going. So how can we know the way?" And Jesus answers, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Now, of course, during his earthly ministry, Jesus has taught his followers and many crowds of people too how they ought to live, what God is looking for in their lives. In addition to that, he demonstrated God's way in his own life. But now he goes a step further and he says, "I am the way." Let me tell you a true story, which you may find a helpful illustration. Josie and me once went to Cyprus on holiday. When a Christian friend heard about it, she asked us if we would seek out an old friend of hers, the head teacher of an English-speaking Christian school, and give him her greetings. She had taught in that school many years before. So in Paphos, where we were staying, we hired a car and we drove down to Limassol quite a way. And all we had was the name of the man and the address of the school. We soon discovered when we got there that the school wasn't in that road anymore. It was somewhere else in the city. But we went and found it, only to discover it was closed for the school holidays. And as we sat outside in this car wondering what to do, A lady came out of the school building and asked if we needed help. And we explained our situation. And she told us that the man we wanted to see had just retired and she was the new head teacher. And she began to explain in great detail how to get to his house up in the hills. And she must have seen my eyes glaze over. And suddenly she said, "How about I drive there in my car and you follow me in yours?" "Yes, please," we said. So she took us miles into the countryside and up into these hills, right to the person's front door, where we were welcomed with open arms as though we were long-lost family. And while we were there, we were invited to a family wedding that was taking place that weekend. You see, that Christian lady, she didn't have to take us there. She didn't just give us directions. She became the way for us. And that opened up an invitation to a wedding, which would include a special celebratory meal. Can you see where I'm going with this? It's vitally important that we explain to people that Jesus is the only way to the Father. It's only through Jesus we will know the joy of heaven. He is the way maker. And those of us who become the followers of the way, disciples of Jesus, and I include our forebears, who had the foresight to write those words at the front of our church. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. All of us will one day be among those invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb, promised in Revelation 19, verses 6 to 9. Now, Jesus is also described as miracle worker. Interestingly, Jesus' first miracle took place at the wedding feast at Cana in Galilee, where he turned the water into wine. Pastor Stephen referred to that event in a word he gave recently. Jesus and his disciples have been invited as guests to the wedding, and so has Jesus' mother. So they must have known the bride and the groom quite well. Running out of wine would have been very embarrassing, even shameful, for the couple. So Jesus intervenes and saves the day. I looked up during the last week all the miracles of Jesus which are recorded in Scripture, and found that there are 37. But John, at the end of his Gospel, says Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have enough room for the books that would be written. And therefore, it seems likely that our Lord performed many more miracles that we don't know about. But why did he do it? He drove out evil spirits. He healed a centurion's servant. He cast demons out of a herd of pigs. He raised a widow's son from death. Walked on water. Cleansed 12 lepers, gave sight to the blind, and many more miraculous things he did. But Jesus was fully human as well as fully God. That's a difficult context, a concept for us to understand, I know. But because he was fully human, he felt for people who were suffering or in difficulty, and he was compassionate. But he didn't heal everyone. If he had done, then he would just have had a healing ministry. There is a record in Mark's Gospel about an occasion when many people in a town where Jesus was staying brought loads of sick people to his front door, and he healed many people. Next morning, while he'd gone off for some solitude and was praying, the disciples came running up and told him that many others were looking for him. But Jesus said, "Let's go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so that I can preach there. That is why I have come." Now, another word for miracles is signs. And these signs were meant to cause belief in Jesus. In John 20, 30 to 31, we read, "Therefore, many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that in believing you may have life in his name." Jesus said, didn't he, one time, that he wanted people to enjoy life and have life to the full. Jesus' miracles were signs to the people that he was indeed the person he claimed to be. They were specifically performed to cause belief in him. When Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, he asked that the stone blocking his tomb be moved away. And then he looked up and he said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me. But I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." And then he called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And out he came. Jesus always attributed everything he did and said to his Father God. The person we worship every time we come into this place on a Sunday or at any other time is unique. God's only Son, the only one who can save us. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." In the song we heard, Jesus is also described as promise keeper. The Old Testament is full of God's wonderful promises. I read that there's something between 400 and 500 of them. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, we can take heart where Paul says, "No matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ." No matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. God has made so many wonderful promises to us. I have a long list. If I were to read out this list this morning, I don't know how long we would be here, probably a week. But here are a few. Psalm 145, verse 9. "The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made." Psalm 19, verse 7, "The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple." Deuteronomy 31, verse 8, "The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." And of course, supremely, all God's promises delivered by his prophets of old about the coming of the Messiah were fulfilled in Jesus. Absolutely everyone. Jesus himself, of course, also made some amazing promises. He said in Matthew 11, 28 to 30, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. Take my yoke upon me, you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." John 11, 25, he says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying." And in John 8, verse 12, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Which leads us nicely on to the final attribute of Jesus this morning: light in the darkness. The phrase "light in the darkness" is a common theme throughout the Bible, and it serves as a reminder of God's presence and faithfulness even amid difficult times. We were singing about God's faithfulness earlier, weren't we? In the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 9, we read these words about the coming Messiah. We're used to hearing them at Christmas time. "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." And in chapter 42, Isaiah speaks of the coming Messiah who will be a light to the nations, or Gentiles in another translation. In his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus teaches his followers that they are to bring that same light to others. Matthew 5:14 has Jesus saying, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine upon men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." So because Jesus is the light of the world, there are practical implications of how we live our lives as Christians. It means being a source of hope and encouragement to those around us who may be struggling or going through difficult times. It means shining the light of God's love and truth into every situation, even when it may seem dark or hopeless. And ultimately, it means trusting God's promise that the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it, as we read in the opening verses of John's Gospel. Those at Gas Street Church have taken this to heart, and so, I trust, have we. Lord Jesus, you are here, moving in our midst. We worship you. We worship you. You are here, touching every heart, turning lives around. We worship you. We worship you.
The prophet Isaiah also writes, "We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way." Lord, we pray that you would forgive us when we have ignored you and we've gone our own way. When we've gone astray. We've gone into all sorts of things we shouldn't have. We've hurt people, we've hurt ourselves. But also we've hurt you. You are our creator. You are the one who made us and knows us. We thank you that although we may have gone astray, we may have turned to our own way, you have laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. Jesus, as we look at the cross here, we remember that everything we've done wrong, or everything we haven't done that we should have, you've died for, you've taken the punishment for, you've taken away, so we might be forgiven and free. Forgive us, Lord Jesus, today. Bring us back to you. Bring us to you for the first time. You are the way, the truth, and the life. And through you, we can come to the Father. Each of us has this choice to make. Thank you, Jesus, that you have died and risen again to give us this choice to be forgiven and free. Amen. I have the opportunity now to sing this song for ourselves, Wavemaker.
You are. Christ's keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Even when I don't see you working, even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working.
There's a promise that you're holding on to. God is going to keep it. If there's a light you're looking for in the darkness, God is going to shine. If there's a miracle that you need, God is the one to turn to for it. And even when we don't see it, he's working. Even when we don't feel it, he's working. He never stops working. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Please be seated. As we often do when we gather together on a Sunday, this is our opportunity to shine in prayer. As we come together in agreement, what we agree on earth is agreed in heaven. And as God leads us to pray, so things will change. And there's one place particularly at the moment that needs God's light to shine, and that's Israel and Gaza. We've seen it on our screens. Those who are looking to the Lord need to know he's a promise keeper and a light in the darkness. There are many Christians in Gaza, many Christians in Israel. There are many Jews who've come to faith, Arabs who've come to faith. There is conflict always, and we know always will be. But we can still pray for peace, and we're commanded to pray for peace. I'm going to leave with a prayer that has come from Fred Dunmond of the Evangelical Alliance, to pray for the situation. And then after I've prayed that prayer, do bring your own prayers. A prayer for peace and mercy. God, rich in mercy and love, we pray for the people of Israel and Gaza, for the innocents, broken, scared, frightened, confused. God, who weeps with the weeping, have mercy. We think of those who've lost their lives and those who grieve. God, who meets us in the darkness of the valley and in the stillness of the night. O God, meet with the bereaved, we pray. For families shattered and children torn, O God, have mercy. To the injured, bring healing. To the bereaved, bring comfort. To the frightened, bring love. To the weary, bring hope. God of grace, we pray for an end to bloodshed. May peace come quickly. We pray that peacemakers may find a voice and offer a way forward. Father, have mercy. Lord Christ, have mercy. Holy Spirit, bring hope. Amen.
Father, we pray for our friend Israel Proctor and his church in Ashdod, very close to the Palestinian-Israel border. Father, we thank you for the work that he and his community have done to try and to bring a channel of light to the people in that area. But Father, we know that they are under constant daily trouble at the moment. And his emails that he sends daily are just so dark. Would Jesus pray a protection on him and the Christians that are around him? Father, we know that he takes his life into danger every day that he goes out and about. But we just ask for protection on him. And Father, we pray that those Christians, that the many people they've baptised recently will come to them because they've come to know you, will shine a light in the darkness. Father, we do not understand all that's going on, and they're often seen as a sixth of one and half a dozen of little. But Jesus, you know. You know everything. And Jesus, we ask you to bring one of those miracles that we've asked to pray for daily, to bring a miracle in this situation.
Amen.
Yes, Lord, we thank you and praise you for what you showed me very clearly the day I was saying to you how, you know, kind of doesn't really make sense to us as to why you would allow such extensive suffering, you know, innocent families, children to be taken hostage, the youngest hostage, they believe is 6 months old. But thank you, Father, that you only allow this because the glory for which you are preparing your people is so much greater. Thank you, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that your people in Israel and in Palestine, because there are plenty of Palestinian Christians, would know that people would just have hope in that eternal weight of glory for which you are preparing them.
Yes, ma'am.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Would we pray for a miracle?
Yeah.
In our place.
Yes, ma'am.
As we watch our televisions and see all the mourning and all the little ones, and Lord, our hearts break, and what you must feel like. We just commit them into your care. Those who have already died and those who are suffering, just be with them, Lord, and bless them, and help us to continue to remember them in prayers. For Jesus' sake we pray.
Amen.
Dear Father, I thank you that you're walking with us through life. I thank you for your ever-faithfulness, for the joy of knowing you're accompanying us in our way. As the Lord said, we are the way, the truth, and the love. There is only one way to heaven. Thank you for your healing hand, Lord. Praise and bless those who would need that hand now within this fellowship. I pray that they will receive the grace upon them and the healing for them. I pray for this church as a whole. I pray, Lord, that it will grow in love and faithfulness to your Lord. Lord, I thank you for ministry. For all the years that I've been here and several of us have been here. great. Indeed, great is your faithfulness.
Thank you, Lord.
And great is your love. Father, never leave us. Never fail us.
Thank you, Lord.
Always be in prayer for guiding us day by day. Amen.
Father, open up that way for peace to reign in Israel, Gaza, and many other parts of our world. Father, only you can open up that way. Lord, we pray for salvation to come to these places. Lord, that they may see who you are. And God, our Father, we just pray again for all those who are suffering at this moment. Again, Lord, bring your comfort, your peace. But most of all, Lord, I just want to say, make a way, Lord, please, for peace in Israel and Gaza. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
We close our service where we started, Psalm 23, the Lord's my shepherd. This is our prayer. As we go through the week, we can keep praying for these situations that we've just joined together with now. Let's keep praying that people will know the Lord as their shepherd. This is our testimony that we can sing today. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want.
Amen. To life in pastures free.
Please remember those sign-up sheets for helping, for eating, and also the recording for reading. Bless you this week. May God bless you richly. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Thank you.